No. Thank you again for everybody for coming this week. Obviously, Rabbi Hartstock is here. It was my little error during the week. Rabbi Gottlieb will be next week, and the week after that is Rabbi Adler. Thank you again for Rabbi Hartstock for making it so easy for me. And without further ado, the Dean of Machon Siach.
First time. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to learn together with you. So I'd like to focus this week a little bit on kind of the battle for the turf of what Targum Unklos was actually about. There are a few little line around over there. We know, of course, that the Gemara in Brachos describes that we have an obligation to review the Parsha, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. This is an obligation to go over the course of a year, reading through all the Parshiot of the Torah, together with Targum. And the Targum that the Gemara is referring to is Targum Unklos. It's worth noting that, in terms of the status of Unklos, both Rashi and Tosos in different places in the Gemara reference Unklos as though it was given at Har Sinai, which means that either they're making a historical statement that Targum Unklos was given at Har Sinai along with the Ksav of the Torah, or they're making an authoritative statement to say that the Targum of Unklos is the official Targum of the Torah, which is given it a pretty significant kind of status. I'm not going to get to the biography of Unklos, but there is some kind of discussion as to exactly when it is that he lived. The general assumption is that he lived sometime in the first century, and some associate of the Common Era, and some associated with a person named Aquila, a Roman person who converted to Judaism. When the Ramban talks about Unklos, he references him as living in the time of Aristotle, which is 500 years before that. A scholar named Israel Drazen, who wrote a whole English commentary that was published recently. It's Targum, it's a Chumash and Targum, and a whole kind of explanation of what Targum Unklos is trying to achieve, thinks that he lived at around the 300. So there's like a lot of, the authority of Unklos is very great, that's very clear. Exactly when he lived is some debate. The general consensus is around the first century. Regardless, even though we don't read Targum anymore, and by the time, we don't really understand the Aramaic very sharply, and by the time the Shulchan Aruch is around, it's already listed, quoted as, if you should review the Parsha, and it's supposed to do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, and if you read Rashi, that's just as good. But he still says, but if you're Yirei Shamayim, you'll study Unklos, because Unklos has a significant status. So what is it that's the status of Unklos then became terms of a great debate amongst Rishonim, particularly because the Rambam had a lot to say about it, and then the Ramban had a lot to say in response to the Rambam, and it's almost as though there was this little window when the Rambam and the Ramban were arguing about things, not contemporaneously, but within that medieval period where certain things, this became, beforehand it wasn't such a debate, and afterwards there seemed to have been a little bit of a consensus. What we're going to do is talk about three different ways of understanding what Unklos is about, what the Rambam thought. He started the big debate, how the Ramban responded to him, and then how some scholars afterwards tried to restore what they thought was really what Unklos was really driving at. The reason why this week's Parsha is because if you read the Ramban this week's Parsha, there is, you know, there was like some famous Rambans on Chumash. So Parshas Vayigash has the famous Ramban that goes on and on and on of responding to the Rambam's understanding of Targum Unklos. So this is kind of the place where the debate happens, at least if you're kind of learning Chumash and its commentaries. So what I'd like to do is read a little bit of the Rambam, how he formulates it, and then read a chunk of the long Ramban and how he responds to what the Rambam is talking about. I think maybe the way that we would start is by giving a couple of examples of what the Rambam focuses on, what he picks up on that makes him feel like, why is Unklos so important that everybody has to read it? And why is Unklos so important that people seem to think that it was the authoritative Targum Misinai even? Like, what gives it that kind of status? So Rambam thought that there was, if you read the Targum Unklos carefully, you realize that he was a very sensitive theologian who was trying to convey a certain kind of idea in his Targum that was very important for all Jews to have. And what did that have to do with? So I'm going to read the two sets of boxes here, just by way of example. So you take an example on page one. There are a pasuk from Bereishis Yudches, Perek Yudches, pasuk Chaf Aleph, and the pasuk says, "Erdana ve'ereh I'm going to go down and see. Hakitzaakata haba'a elai asu. If it's actually true all that they did, if they did like that, kala. And they're going to be destroyed. Vimlo, and if not, eda'a, I'll know and we'll deal with that. What is this story referring to? That's the story of Sodom, when Abraham makes his plea and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and God says, I'm going to go and see what happens. What's really going on there? So the Targum says, there's a word for, it's supposed to be a translation, if you're a precise translator, you're supposed to translate from Hebrew to the Aramaic, at the precise word. So the translation for that pasuk in the Unkelus is, Itgali Ka'an. I will reveal myself, Va'adun, and I will judge. Hakikabil Tahon Da'alat L'Kadame Avadu. Are they doing all of those things? And I ... for the rest of the thing. Because it's the bold part that we're going to pay attention to. Because what does the word say? The word says in Hebrew, Erdana, I will go down. And Targum Unkelus translates it as, I will reveal myself. So people who read if you're reading Torah, the Rambam, as an example, reads and says, that's not a translation of Erdana. How can you do that? And then he reads and he says, actually, that's not the only place, because if you look at Shmos Yutes Pasuk Chaf, famously, now we're talking about the ultimate, Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai al Rosh Shahar Vayikra Hashem la Moshe. This is Ma'amad Har Sinai, where God is coming down to give the Torah, and the translation is V'idgilei Hashem al Tura de Sinai. Hashem revealed himself on Har Sinai, L'Resh Tura, across Yalim Moshe, L'Resh Tura. Right? You got the Resh Tura, it's Resh Rosh Shahar. Like all the rest of it seems like, okay, it's pretty good. And then that is like, it's not exactly correct. So Ram says, what's going on? Why is Unkelus not translating this precisely? I'll just jump to, if you look at page 3, we're going to do a little out of order, but just to get examples of the psukim. We're basically taking two words, because right now we're taking the word Vayered, Erda, and in both cases, the Unkelus doesn't translate it precisely. You see another word, so in Bereishis, Perek Kaf Tes, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it says, Vatahar od, Vatelet ben, Vatomer, Ki Shama Hashem ki Snua Anochi, because God heard that I'm hated, Vaitein li gam etze, Vatikrashmo Shimon. That is the basis for Leah calling her son Shimon. So the translation goes, and again, I'm not Aramaic scholar here, but Vadiat od yilidat bar, she became pregnant od, again, yilidat bar, and she was molida a son. Vamarat, and what she said is, are, because shmia kadam Hashem, it was heard in the presence of God. Kadam Hashem, the presence of God. Arei snuata ana, that I'm hated. V'yahavli af yadein, v'krach mei shimon. Gave me another son, it's called Shimon. So again, the Ram reads this and says, okay, there's no kadam in the pasuk. So it says God heard, and Unkelus is doing something funny. He says, in front of God. What is that? That's a little closer, because at least you have the verb. It's not totally vayered, reveal, totally different. Here it's like closer, but there's a distancing in the closer. It's not, it doesn't say God heard. It said God, there was a hearing in the presence of God, something like that. And then another one, imane tane oto, this is a pasuk in Shmo Perkof Ber, which talks about making sure that the poor person, if you lend something to a poor person, you should, if the person gives you the mashkon as collateral for the debt, you have to give it back to the poor person when he needs it. And if not, if the person cries out to me, ki imtsaok yitzak elai, shemoa eshma tzaakato, I will hear his cries. To which Uncle says, imana ta'ane yate arei mekabel, kabbalah akabel kivilte. What does kabbalah akabel? What does the kabel mean? Well, it doesn't mean to hear. It means to receive. I will accept. I will receive, which means accept. Kivilte is from the word kiv. It's actually on a totally different front. A very neat play on words of Unkelus, because kabbalah means to receive, and kivala means a crying out, a complaint. Divrei neviim are called divrei kivala. because that's to be kovel, means to cry out. So Kabbalah akabel kivilte means I will receive the person's crying out. So the Rambam reads all this and he says, it's actually interesting, the Targum is pretty precise, except there are bunches of places where the Targum is not precise. So what do I make of the fact that the Targum is not precise, and when does he choose to do that? So the first, Rambam wrote Mor Nevuchim, and Mor Nevuchim is divided into three books. There's Book 1, Book 2, and Book 3. Book 1 is essentially, when the Rambam writes in his introduction to Mor Nevuchim, he says, my goal in Mor Nevuchim is to make sure that people are able to understand Chumash properly, especially Masa Bracious and Masa Merkava, but Chumash properly, because people can read Chumash and they cannot understand what's actually being said there, unless they really can understand it, read it B'chachma. So actually, the first book of Mor Nevuchim, largely, there's like a chunks of philosophy in there, but lots of the, I mean, it's all philosophy, but the chapters, one chapter after another, there's a chapter on a word. There's a word in Chumash, how do you understand that word in Chumash? So there's a chapter on how do you understand Vayered. How do you understand Vayal? How do you understand exactly what do all those words mean when you read them? God went up, God went down, God had a Charonaf, God had an Etzba Elokim, God had a this, God had a that. And so for Rambam, that's actually a big deal philosophically, saying, what does that mean that God has all of these things? This is what you call in our philosophical language is called anthropomorphism, the idea of taking God and giving him human properties. And the Torah gives God human properties. The Rambam had a big problem with that, because philosophically, if you ask, how can God have human properties? God's infinite and eternal, and human properties, they don't last forever. So it's and those are going up and going down is not something that's something that is all-encompassing and everywhere and omniscient and omnipresent, all those things, that doesn't go up and go down and get angry and happy and they receive and listen and talk. Those things don't happen. So how do you understand that? So what the Rambam said when he's reading the Targum, he said, I actually understand why Targum Unculus is actually so important. The reason why Targum Unculus is so important is because that was actually the thing that was going to make sure that all people were able to understand Chumash so that they don't end up being heretics. Because actually you can just read the Chumash and you're going to make lots of mistakes. You're going to think God is an old man with a white beard sitting up in heaven, and to actually believe that God is an old man with a white beard up in heaven sitting with a book open in front of you, then that is... You dive into the wrong God. That's not what God is. That's a problem. And the Rambam writes in book one, if you go back to page one, so the Rambam writes in book one, chapter 36, he says, this might make us, before reading it, so the Rambam knows it's going to make this, his whole enterprise actually can make people pretty anxious. If you're actually a believer, you can be pretty anxious. Basically, what the Rambam is saying is, if you're raised in a certain kind of way and you believe certain kinds of things and then it turns out that you're wrong, then that's a big problem. Because basically you've been davening, but you've been davening that way instead of that. You daven to the wrong God, and that can be idolatrous. So Rambam writes in Book 1, Chapter 36, I do not consider as an infidel one who cannot demonstrate that the corporeality of God should be negated. Meaning, so what's the corporeality of God? Reading Mor Nevuchim lines, you've got to read, what's corporeality of God? So to be corporal, that has to do with the body. Corporeality of God means that God has a body. Actually, it was debated when Rav Kook actually wrote about the Rambam. In the beginning of the 20th century, he wrote a short essay on the Rambam. He said, the Rambam's contribution to Jewish thought, meaning it's like, we think, if you publish a say, it's when you think in these kinds of terms, you're talking about like, Jewish history, the history of like Jewish, of everything. It's like, not just, it's like, okay, it's great, you wrote Mishnah Torah, like all those things are great. You know what the Rambam's contribution to Jewish thought is? He wiped out once and for all this issue of whether God has physical properties or not. Because actually it was being fought about for a very long time. How do you understand it? It says in Chumash. Like, how are you supposed to do it? If it says in Chumash this, who gives you the right to say that? If it says in Chumash that God has all these properties. So Rambam says you have to believe the right thing. He says, I don't expect you to demonstrate that the corporeality of God should be negated. To negate the corporeality of God... Sorry, so it's 9 o'clock at night. It's a hard time to read Mor Nevuchim. I know. We're going to be okay, though. I think it's going to work. Is there an easy time? Right. That's good. So we can do this one phrase at a time. What does the corporeality of God mean? God has a body. What does it mean to negate the corporeality of God? You say that God does not have a body. What does it mean to demonstrate that you're negating the corporeality of God? It means, can you prove that that's true? So Ram says, I don't expect every person to be able to, like, prove all these things. Like, I'm going to give every... Not everybody's a philosopher. So if not everybody's a philosopher, how are you supposed to know what you're going to think, and how are you going to know that accurately? So I don't expect that. He says, but I do consider as an infidel one who does not believe in its negation. I mean, you don't have to be able to prove it, but you do have to know it. Well, how am I supposed to know it if it's not going to be proven? How does that happen? This particularly in view of the existence of the interpretation of Unklus and Yonatan ben Uzziel. The only Targum Unklus is so important because when you read Chumash, you can draw certain conclusions. And he says, I actually understand why it is that the Gemara says you have to read Mikra and Targum. I understand why you have to read Mikra and Targum, and why the Targum is Targum Unklus. And why the Targum on Nevi'im that he's supposed to read, like the Gemara Megillah talked about it, is like Yonatan ben Uzziel. You want to know why? Not just they were holy and that's great. There's actually a teaching in there that's going to make the difference between you being an infidel and you being a believer. Between you being a ma'amin, and you don't need to be a philosopher. You just need to read Chumash with Unklus for the 100 years that you live your life, and you're not going to make that mistake because he solved the problem. May peace be upon them. Sorry. Of course, may peace be upon them, who cause their readers to keep away as far as possible from the belief in the corporeality of God. So what did the Rambam do? And sometimes, like, I think about this, and you feel like, every time with the Rambam, is like another something, you feel like, okay, that was pretty good. He wrote a Perush HaMishnayos, you know, in his 20s, that was pretty good. It's like, oh wow, he actually figured out how to organize all of Talmud into these categories and books and whatever. It's like, that's a pretty big accomplishment. That's pretty good. But then it's like, wow, that's like a pretty big accomplishment. But he's like reading also, it's like reading Targum Unklus and saying, oh, I actually understand. I've read through Targum and I picked up on something. I get it. Every time there is a physical property that it describes God as having, Unklus changes it. Now, we're not going to get into all the thing because obviously that's a provocative line. So then people, the Ramban, beginning with the Ramban, and then for the next 700 years, are picking at it and saying, like, well, there are, you didn't change that one, or did you change that one? There's like a whole, is that it really? But that's his basic theory. The Rambam says what it means to be a believing Jew, what it takes to be a believing Jew is to learn Chumash and Unklus, and then you can be pretty good because he solves that. Therefore, what's the problem with Erda Vayered? What's wrong with that? What does that mean? So you're going to think God comes down, and actually, right, I know some of us in the back of our minds when he's saying, like, I don't know, I always think that God comes down, goes up. That's actually, I think when it says, like, Ki Shama Hashem, I think that God hears my prayers. That's what I think. Don't worry, Ramban might save you from thinking that, but the Rambam thinks you're not supposed to think that. What that means for the whole system, that's why he wrote a Mor Nebuchim, to explain, like, how all the pieces basically fit together. But he says, just in case you think that I am, like, coming up with this thing, I'm telling you, it's Unklus' Targum in Chumash that's doing that. So when it says Vayered, it means something different. And when it says Shamoa Eshmatza Akato, it does not mean that God hears your prayers. It means God accepts your prayers. Or it means that there's something that's heard in the presence of God. Or it means that there's an entity that is able to do that. Or Vayered Hashem might mean, Vayered Hashem actually can mean that the storm comes, because there's like a physical thing, which is a Malach Hashem. When the Ram talks about Malach Hashem, God is manifest in those kinds of forces that come. So actually God doesn't come down, but actually something that God put in motion might come down, and that's actually God's presence. That's like part of what it is that... So again, there are going to be like 10,000 examples of what this is, but that's actually what's going on here. Actually, all that is backdrop to what makes the Ramban go to town this week. Because what makes the Ramban go to town this week is the psukim in the third Bereishis Membav, Perek Membav, psukim Alf to Dalid. That is Parshas Vayigash. Fine. So it goes like this. These are the psukim. Vayisai Yisrael v'chol asher lo vayavo be'era shava. So Yaakov comes to Beersheva. Vayizbach zvachim l'lokei aviv Yitzchak. And he brings korbonos. Why is it dafka de'lokei aviv Yitzchak as opposed to Avram, as a Rambam, that's the beginning of this very long Rambam. We're not going to talk about that now. Yomer Elokim liYisrael b'marot halayla. So God speaks to Yaakov at night in a marah. Sorry, in a vision at night. Yomer Yaakov, Yaakov, Yomer Ineni. Yomer Anochi Ha'el Okay Avicha. Al Tiram Darim Tzaima. Don't worry about going down to Egypt. Ki Lagoy Gadol Asim Chasham. I'm going to make you great there. Anochi Eredim Chametzraima. I'm going to go down with you. Vanochi Elcha Gamalo. And I'm going to come back up with you. V'yosef Yashid Yadol Anecha. And Yosef is going to take care of you. It's all going to be good. That's the vision. Says the Targum. This is on Pasuk, last Pasuk. Anochi Eret Imcha Mitzrayim Anochi Elcha Gamalo, says the Targum. Ana Echot Imach LeMitzrayim. I'm going to go down with you to Mitzrayim. Ve'ana Askinach Afasaka. I'm also going to come up with you. Yosef Yishav Yedo Yalinecha. And Yosef is going to protect you, he's going to take care, he's going to place his hands over you, he's going to take care of you. What's the problem? The what? Yeah, so the Rambam reads this and it's like, oh, I got a problem. The Targum is not supposed to do this. So for the Rambam, that presents a big problem. That runs against his thing. And the Rambam feels responsible to explain every time the Targum does something that doesn't fit. So that's the subject. So that Pasuk is the subject of Book 1, Chapter 27 in Mor Nevuchim. That's what he's coming to explain. Any thoughts? Probably hard. I don't know if I set that up. So he goes like this. Onkelos the proselyte, who was thoroughly acquainted with the Hebrew and Chaldaic languages, made it his task to oppose the belief in God's corporeality. Mamash like that. I mean, Ram's pretty clear. That's what he thinks Onkelos accomplished. That was the charge. The Ramban is going to say, Onkelos's charge was actually your charge. I mean, that's what Onkelos is supposed to do, is what you wanted to do. That's what Onkelos is actually doing. Rambam doesn't like this, but that's what the Rambam thinks. Accordingly, any expression employed in the Pentateuch in reference to God, and in any way implying corporeality, he paraphrases in consonance with the context. Meaning he tries to explain it in context, but taking the kishkas out of it so that you don't misunderstand it. All expressions denoting any mode of motion. Motion is a problem. God doesn't move. So any motion has to be explained. Are explained by him to mean the appearance or manifestation of a certain light that had been created for the occasion, which the Rambam says that's what we mean by the Shechina or providence, Hashgacha. Thus he paraphrases, that's why he says the Lord will come down. What does it mean when he says the Lord will come down? The Lord will manifest himself. Or, and God came down, that means, and God manifested himself. He does not say, and God came down, I will go down now and see. He paraphrases, I will manifest myself now and see. This is his rendering of the verb yarad, he went down, when used in reference to God throughout his version. That's how he talks about it all through all Targum Onkelos. Does this make sense so far? So let's talk about that. Why is manifest better? Isn't manifest also human? You should raise that. I have only what do you, yeah?
Question. Why is that name situated better?
Well, because it's man's perception.
I think it's like that. God, it's only a distance thing. It's basically to say it's a trigger. It's almost like a mental trigger. Realize it doesn't exactly mean that. He can't not translate. It says Vayeir. That's what it says. Now this might make you say, one second. So, and the Rambam will say, yes, there are hundreds of words that I say, that not I say, that Onkelos says. You can't translate them exactly. You have to distance it a little bit from God. And in order to make sure that you realize, it doesn't mean exactly what it sounds like it means, because it doesn't have a body, so it can't exactly mean that. So he can't just. I think this is true. It might strike you as odd in terms of that this is what the Rambam thinks, or the Rambam thinks, Onkelos thinks, is no question. That strikes you as really? That you can think that. But it is what he's saying. It's not exactly accurate because it's not translated exactly like that, because he has to try to create that kind of distance so you don't make that mistake. Yep.
Doesn't
thought that the anthropomorphism in the Chumash is so that we can relate and understand it. It's a little strange that Unkelos is then moving that. He's, I guess, in his version of how we can relate. It also seems a little counter to the
point of the Chumash. So part of what people react to the Rambam is like, it's like actually interesting when people hear it, do you like this line of thinking or not like this line of thinking? Because there's actually, you know, kind of a debate around it. Some people feel like, how can you just interpret, you know, is that the way God works? Is that how you think of God? Is like, well, you know, personal, whatever, and stuff like that? Or should you think about it as, so that's a negative of the thing. Actually, but the Rambam will say, I don't know, anybody want to defend? I don't know. Does anybody like philosophical God? I don't know. So does anybody like the Rambam's attempt to make for a kind of a philosophical God, which is not like, you know, God going up and down doing stuff like that? It's like, I know it's more distant. I mean, the Rambam would say to too, is like, yes, the language is written. I shouldn't say like kind of, I should say a little more definitively. Rambam's got a whole chapter talking about the term Dibra Torah Kaloshon Bnei Adam. That's a good term that you find in Chumash, Dibra Torah Kaloshon Bnei Adam. What that term means can be picked at and explain exactly what it means. So the Rambam, it means the Torah was written in a way that people would be able to connect to it. So that you read the Torah when you're 5 and 10 and 15, it's like you can read the Torah and understand it. But at some point, you actually should start reading Unkelos, so that even if you're not like a careful reader, you'll understand what it doesn't exactly mean. And actually, if you wanted to then become a philosopher, you'll be able to say, like, well, let me understand what it actually really means. But you're not supposed to just leave it at that. That's just it's a hook to be able to kind of get you in. I think the nature of people are that some people hear that and say, wow, that resonates. It always bothers me. I don't know, what does God's got? Really have like a book in front? He's like writing this down, writing that down. Is that actually? No, it must be there's something much more moved, much bigger. I can't really kind of. Some people feel like this is just my own place. The idea of what it means to be God, you know, God, to believe that God exists means I can't understand it. I can't understand it. I don't like the idea of feeling like God exists means that I understand. He comes down, he listens, does. And for other people, it's like, if I can't understand it, then I don't understand it. I can't connect to it. So I want a God who's personal. I'm not saying you should pick the theology. Maybe one theology is right and one theology is wrong. But part of what's at stake is like that, is that.
You can look on both of them. I think anybody would probably do that. When we say have to tell him, so we know there's no finger. On the other hand, it helps.
Help. Well, but sometimes people don't think about it and they just have a conclusion, and then actually that can lead to mistakes and errors. And for the Rambam, actually, it's a big problem. I'm not saying, you know, and it's enough that the Rambam developed a whole theology and the Ramban reacted to that whole theology, and that's actually a big and important kind of big important machlokas. Yes?
So Rashi basically is comments throughout the Torah. What's his take on this? Because you would think.
So it's, we have it. So. Rishonim, each of their commentaries have like specific agendas, and there's a lot to sort out. Rashi is very basically, Rashi says pshat, not exactly pshat. What Rashi does is Rashi takes the Ma'amar Chazal. Rashi does nothing on his own, basically. What Rashi does is Rashi says, I am going to pick the Ma'amar Chazal that fits best with the context pshat of the pasuk. So actually Rashi is not giving pshat of the pasuk. Rashi is picking, it's kind of like if you imagine on Shabbos I want to read like Midrashei Chazal. What Rashi did was he said, I'm going to pick the Midrash of Chazal that actually fits the pshat of the pasuk best.
But did see Rashi comment explicitly ever on the corporeality of the text?
He's not learning Chumash with theology. He's learning Chumash and Chazal. Then you have other Rishonim, like, you know, Ibn Ezra came and responded to Rashi. Ibn Ezra not responded. Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, responded to Rashi and said, it's good to learn Rashi Chumash with what's the best Ma'amar Chazal. But I actually want to know what the Chumash says. So Ibn Ezra and Rashbam wrote, like, Pshat, and what's the basic Pshat. The Ramban actually combines both. the Rambam actually reads Chumash for theology. Like, he has a very different enterprise. So he didn't write a Perush on Chumash, although people then tried to write Perushim, you know, comment, what's something about Rambam's Pshat on Chumash. Anyway, let me get back so that we can at least kind of make our way through the thing. Here's where he gets up to his problem. So he says, what am I up to? I will go down to Egypt, and it's literally, we're on the second line at the top. He says, how are we doing? A remarkable proof of this great man's talent, the excellence of his version, and the correctness of his interpretation. By this version, he discloses to us an important principle as regards prophecy. I'm back on the last thing. Meaning what he says is, how great is Unklus that he was so careful in his translation that Imamish taught us what Unklus' achievement is that he teaches people kind of in an osmosis kind of way, just like reading Parshah, whatever, what real theology is. That's what he accomplished. Then he goes and says, I do have a problem. This narrative begins, and God spake unto Israel in the vision of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob, etc. And he said, I am God, etc. I will go down with thee into Egypt. That's the psukim that we're reading right now. Seeing that the whole narrative is introduced as a vision of the night, he's going to try to explain it. Remember what the problem is? The problem in these psukim is that Unklus doesn't give God physical attributes. He doesn't describe those words. But in this case, he actually did describe the word. He described it straight up. How do I explain it? So this is what Rambam says. Why did Unklus do that? He says, seeing that the whole narrative is introduced as a vision of the night, Unklus did not hesitate to translate literally the words addressed to Jacob in the nocturnal vision, and thus gave a faithful account of the occurrence. That's his explanation. What's the explanation?
Because it's a dream?
Yeah. What does it say in the beginning of the Pasuk? The beginning of the Perek. What's it say in the beginning of the Perek? God appeared to him in a dream. If God appeared to him in a dream, so what does it already say in the beginning of the Perek? It's not a real... I'm not describing reality. I'm describing a dream. People dream whatever they dream. This is Yaakov's dream. And therefore, when Unklus translated it, he translated it actually literally. So that you, when you're reading it, you're going to say, oh, I know that every time he doesn't do it that way. But actually, this time he does, because that's a dream. So therefore, he did it like that. That's his shot.
Impugning Yaakov in a way, according to his theology, if God is totally non-corporeal, how could Yaakov, one of our Ovos,
dream that? How can one of our Ovos have a dream of God in a physical?
It's a dream.
Yeah. I mean, it can bother you if you want, but he's saying, look, you have to be clear. I mean, right, I understand what you're saying, but I feel like, you know, okay, it's a dream. Like, even our Ovos have dreams. That's but what, from the Rambam's vantage point, he's like, wow, how great a reader was Unklus of the Chumash and its translation, that every single thing he picked, he went this way, then he went that way, then he went this way, and then that way. Okay. So he says, for the passage in question contains a statement, I guess I don't have to read it. He says, okay, you can just read the last sentence of the paragraph. A most remarkable distinction. Rambam loves this. He thinks it's great. So it comes to Rambam. Rambam says, okay, Rambam, no way. This whole thing is not correct. So I'm not going to read all the Rambam right now. We don't have to read it all together. Numbers 1, 2, and 3 are basically a quote from even in the Ramban and Chumash, you read the beginning of number 1, it says, because of the Rab Perkov Zayn Pchelik Rishon Mor Nebuchim, Ki Targum Anuchi Erid Mitzrayim Av Anuchi Al Chagam Alo Ano Echot Imach Vana Siknach Menif La Rab Is Yaldas Unklus. And the Rambam was all confused by Unklus. V'amar, Ki Unklus Sama Meodo L'Archik HaGashmut B'chol Sipur. How can it possibly be? And then he goes on to the thing. And then he explains in 2 and 3, he quotes the Rambam's explanation. Okay. Then in number 4, he gives another example. He says, V'chein amar ha-Rambam, we did this when we started, V'chein amar ha-Rambam, she'hirchik unklus ha-shmiya b'chol makom. That the same thing is true about hearing. When it says God hears, unklus doesn't like it. He changes it. V'yasim peirusha, how does he explain it? Haga'at ha-davar ha-hu la-boreh. What does shmiya mean? It doesn't mean hearing. It means, I don't know. It gets to God. It arrives to God in some form. O kibul tfila, that the prayer was accepted. I don't know what that means. But it doesn't mean he heard. So basically, what we have here is the Ramban says, the Rambam does this, and I have a couple of examples. Bayerit is an example. Shmiya is an example. There are 20 other examples. And then, let's go up to number 5. The next page. So the Unklus has a question. I wonder if people will have an answer to this question. He says, "In kena davar kedivrei harav, if that's actually right, lama yivrach unklus min hatnuah? Why does unklus distance himself from motion? I mean, unklus says God, there's no motion with God, that doesn't happen. V'yarchi kashmiah, there's no hearing. Gam kein miyirato shetorel gashmut, because he doesn't want people to think that God has physical properties. But lo yivrach min ha'amira v'hadibur. Actually, when it says that God speaks, there's no, kind of distancing. Vaydaber Hashem u'maleil Hashem, says God spoke. So he says, I don't understand. Now, if you have to play Rambam, you have to actually think about what you'd say as an answer. But even though this is like complicated, like more Nevuchim stuff, in a certain sense, like, okay, I get the question, actually. What did Unklus do? By Yered, he changed it. By Shmiah, he changed it. By Vaydaber, that he didn't change it? Why didn't he change it?
What
do you change it to?
God got his message across. I mean, it's like, I don't really.
How else could a human being understand what God is saying if it's not some form of human ear? I mean, the human has to understand it.
Yeah, I hear that, although I feel like out of a shortness of my own limitation, maybe there's something I don't really know. Maybe it's a way. I think that that's actually how the Rambam would defend. That's how people defend the Rambam against this question. What's the difference between Dibur and Shmiah and Yirid and there? Motion means God moved. Shmiah means God heard. God can't hear. What does God speaking to Moshe mean? The Moshe received a communication. So the Rambam says Hashem, the Torah wanted us to believe that Hashem, that Moshe received a communication directly from God. Actually, the Rambam is very convinced that Moshe, the Torah was received by Moshe from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what it means for people to hear the Kol Hashem is nothing to say about God. That has to do with us hearing Kol Hashem. But what does that mean? Whatever it means, that's what it means. I mean, when people say, I heard God's voice, that actually means something. So now you might start scratching your head and saying, meaning, and that's what the Ramban is doing. The Ramban is saying, okay, you're starting to push it a little bit. I don't know if I agree with all this, but the Ramban's saying, I'm not pushing it. There's no changes in God. God doesn't hear, God doesn't move, God doesn't do that. But God communicates his message to people. And the Ramban would say that's also part of the Unklus' wisdom. Unklus' wisdom is, he wants your average person, a person should say, we hear God's voice. You should not think God's listening with his ears to our voice. You should not think that God's going up and going down, but you should think that we're hearing God's voice. So for what the Ramban is a big question for Unklus, for the Rambam, that's a proof that Unklus is a genius. That's what he thinks. Okay, let's try to finish up. Let's go to number 6. Or maybe at the end of number 5, right at the end, he says, Lama yarchik bashmiah, that's his question. Lama yarchik bashmiah, lo yarchik hariyah. Why does he say the shmiah can't be, but when it comes to speaking, seeing, experience God, that actually works. Okay, I skipped a little piece, but let's go on. Then he asks another question. He quotes Targum Yonatan ben Uziel, and this is good because this is an example of a Targum that we say every day. Amar Yonatan ben Uziel, what do we say? Baruch Kvod Hashem im Komo. What's the Targum Yonatan? Brich Yikara Da Hashem Me'atar Beit Shchinte. Blessed is the Kavod of God from Atar. What's Mim Komo mean? His place. Me'atar, from the place, Beit Shchinte, the place where the Shechina rests. The Shechina is supposed to be like a distancing, so it's not exactly God, it's like a distancing. So Ramban says, okay, I think you're really confusing people when you're doing that. Because basically what happens is, if the kavod is actually God's kavod, how can you possibly kind of connect to that? And if you're saying, maybe I'll read it. Im hakavod hazeh yirtzeh bo hakatuv etzem haborei v'amito. If Baruch Kvod Hashem means God's actual presence, like Hareini Nat Kvodecha shepiresh bo harav kein, hinei hiskir bo atar u'beit shkinteh. It's talking about a place and a shechina. V'im yomar shu kavod nivra k'da'ato shel harav v'pasuk v'chvod Hashem alei et ha'mishkan v'zulato ech yikbe'u bo baruch. How can you possibly say baruch to that? Because if you're actually going to translate that in a distancing, an angel kind of way, basically he's saying is, who are you blessing? an angel? That's terrible. What does that mean? Hamavarech v'amitpalel l'chavod nivrak oved alilim. Basically, you're saying like, when you baruch kvar Hashem im kamo, you should be baruch. You can't be being mavarech God directly. So you're being mavarech. There's some kind of intermediary. It doesn't make any sense. I'm sorry that I feel like I rushed through that, but I'm just going to do the end so you can finish out the Ramban. What does Ramban actually think? He says, I think this whole thing is wrong. With the Ramban, I think Ramban's totally wrong. Ubidivrei Rabotein, number 7. Ubidivrei Rabotein, dvarim rabim, yoru al shem ha-shchina. You know what the shchina is? Hu akel yitbarach. That's actually God. Not a manifestation. It's not an angel. It's actually God. Aval ha-inyanim ha-eilu l'unklus v'yotav benuzi yal dvarim yiduim be-kabbalah v'sodam yodechem. Do you know how you have to understand all of this? Kabbalah. The shchina means one thing. Yudke vavke means another thing. Elkim means another thing. So you know what it means, number 8. You know what our pasuk means when it says Vayered Hashem, Hashem's going to go down to Mitzrayim and Hashem's going to go up to Mitzrayim? It means Hashem is going to go down to Mitzrayim and Hashem is going to come up with you from Mitzrayim. That's what it means. Of Masha Amar Kan, Ana Echot Imach, Vatzaler Mosbo Masha Amru, trying to teach you what we were taught. Galu Mitzrayim, we went to Galus, Shechina Imahem. God went to Mitzrayim with Am Yisrael. That's what that means. Shenamar Anochi Eved Mitzimcha Mitzrayim. Galula Elam Shechina Imam. When they went to Galus, God is with them. Shenemar v'samti kisi be'elam v'yineh ha'amira v'hayidash shavim k'mo sheparash l'mala. This Unklus, that is not, you know what Unklus? Unklus is a genius. You know why? Because he understood the Kabbalah things. That's what he was doing, and he was translating all of those terms. Every time that Unklus translates one of these things in one way or another, he's basically doing it api Kabbalah. So, I'm going to take another 60 seconds. Basically, what you have here is as follows. What the Rambam did is the Rambam says the reason why Unklus is so important is basically because Unklus teaches through just basic reading without any kind of thing the right beliefs in Hashem, because if you actually read it carefully, you're going to have a distancing where you're supposed to not really believe that God's like an old man in heaven. And where Unklus changes that, you'll realize sharply why he changes the things that he changes. The Ramban says, that's not true. It's wrong. It's wrong because I can prove to you some exceptions. It's wrong because Re'iyah he does, speaking he does, but Shmiyah he doesn't do, and that he doesn't do. And then sometimes it's called the Shechina, and sometimes it's called Hashem, and sometimes it's called Kvod Hashem, and sometimes it's called that. You know what the answer is? The answer is Kabbalah. So the Ramban was a Kabbalist, and he said it was like that. And the Ramban was a philosopher, and he said Unklus was like that. And then 400 or 500 years later, Shaddal wrote on the back of the page, he's like, okay, thank God we don't have to do with the Rambam anymore. He was anti-Rambam, Shaddal. And he said, the Ramban is a Kabbalist, that's totally wrong. And then people who are scholars say that Unklus actually, what he originally did was, you're over-reading all of Unklus. Unklus changed the words out of concern for God's honor, removing any mention of imagery or the gods to him, and any actions by him or actions towards him which have the effect of lessening God's honor in the heart of the masses. Which basically means, he says, it was just supposed to be an easy translation. It was like art school. Whatever. That's what it was. And it should give you a sense of pride. If you read the Torah and say, like, I understand what it says. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Unklus did not flee from any mention of anthropomorphism, unless it was the kind that would cause people to view God with less respect. Even though the figure of speech of the finger of God is anthropomorphic, I'm reading this too fast, Nachmanides already occupied himself with Maimonides' opinion that Unklus tried to remove all physicality in regards to God. Wrong. While Nachmanides answered for Unklus by way of Sod, what did Ramban say? Ramban said it's philosophy. Ramban said it's Kabbalah. So he says, I think that both. We can just say that Unklus did not feel the necessity to change the language of Scripture when these figures of speech only enhance and elevate the glory of God and His abilities and providence and not lower His glory, God forbid, in the eyes of the masses. Basically, he says, you know what Unklus was? It was a Targum so people could understand the Chumash easily, and that's what it was. So basically, you have three reads on the Targum. Because the Rambam adopted it for him, Ramban adopted it for him, and the Shaddal said, if you go back to the early Rishonim, you see basically that it was just basically a translation. Thanks for coming. Have a great evening.
Okay.
Yes.